Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon, and here we are. It's a privilege and an honor to be here with you on this Tuesday, the 23rd of Av, the 27th of August, live. And so much to talk about, so much to explore. As always, life definitely does not get any quieter. And when we see life as a classroom, which is the way we ought to see life, then there's always lessons being taught. So let's just sit on that idea for a second. Some people see life as a bunch of experiences, and they plan their life or hope for their life that it will have as many positive experiences as possible, which is true. In other words, that itself, that idea of wanting a lot of positive experiences is not wrong, or there's nothing immoral about it. But the problem when seeing life as only experiences, on the most part, life could be very disappointing in that scenario, because when I only want experiences and a lot of life is maybe a negative experience or even just a boring day-by-day routine, then life is fundamentally meaningless unless it's beautiful. But often people will say, thank God for simchas. Simchas are worth living for. It's true, but not fully. In other words, it's worth living even on the most boring day of our life. It's not only worth living, it's the point of living. And God finds incredible meaning in our routine days as well. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them. But when I see life not as experiences, or even as a journey, which is also true, but if I see life as a classroom, it changes my perspective on everything, because every time I go through an awkward moment, a difficult day, a hard experience, or no experience at all, I ask myself a simple question. What's the lesson? And not always do I know the lesson God intended for me, but I know what lesson I could learn, and chances are that's what God intended as well. In other words, I can never know why exactly a certain event happened in my life, at least not while I'm alive here. But I could find deep meaning and lessons in there. And when I see life as a classroom, then the hardest or most boring day of my life has incredible lessons to learn. And that's what we try to do on this Verbringen show every Tuesday for already, I don't know, 9 years? How many years has it been? 10 years? Is to try to look at life. At least, you know, you can't look at all of life, but a little sliver, either it's in the calendar or it's events going on around the world or events going on locally or feelings, and just try to unpack some lessons, try to make sense of it in a way that we can actually internalize and learn lessons. Because the truth is, if somebody sees life as a classroom and is constantly looking for lessons, life is so rich. And life has so many incredible lessons, things that maybe don't get taught in a classroom and you can't read in a book, or even if you do read in a book, you wouldn't internalize it. But rather, if you look for it in life, as the Baal Shem Tov, the great master, taught, that a person should learn from every single experience in their life. See it as almost God sending messages to us. You know, we often refer to the idea that in ancient days, in the biblical times, God communicated directly with people, but today God doesn't. And that statement is, at least in a literal sense, makes sense, but in a non-literal sense, in other words, God, yes, maybe doesn't talk to people the way he spoke to Moshe or Isaiah, Yeshayahu or Yechezkel, Ezekiel or Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, but he definitely talks to us, just talks to us in different ways. He talks to us through the experiences, through the sights we see, through the things we hear, through world events. You just see it as like God, who's fundamentally all of reality. He's using whatever is happening within us and around us as opportunities for teachings, opportunities for lessons. But if I don't notice I'm in a classroom, then I would lose out on the whole opportunity to lose the lesson, right? If you're not aware that you're being taught something wise, you won't hear it. You could go to the most inspiring speech and most inspiring speaker, but if you're sleeping, or if you don't talk their language, right? You have the most inspiring Russian speaker on the planet. Right? Imagine Dostoevsky or Tolstoy shows up and reads a part of, you know, one of the most incredible writings, but you don't know Russian. So he might be sharing a very profound piece of life, but I'm not listening to Russian, or I'm sleeping. So in life, I have to be tuned into the language, because God's sending lessons, and he's definitely not sending it in any specific language. He's sending it in all languages, and he's sending it through all experiences. But if I'm not tuned in, if I don't realize what event I'm at, if I don't see life as a classroom, and I'm not tuned into the language, in other words, I'm expecting the communication to be a certain way, but I don't realize it's a totally different way, then I will lose out incredible opportunities for growth. And I would ask you, think about what happened to you today. Even if your morning so far has been pretty monotonous, simple question I want to ask you. Do you think God was teaching you anything today? From the moment you woke up, did anything different happen? Or did the regular thing happen, but you felt, now in hindsight, that there was a message there, right? Someone said something and you're like, okay, there was a message about how to see people or how not to see people, a message on controlling a certain emotion of mine, right? Maybe God sent me somebody who just posted on their Instagram page how magnificent their life is. And I could see it, oh my gosh, they're so shallow and they're so this and they're so that. Or I could sit there saying, first of all, don't waste my time on the web. But now that I already did go on it, maybe the message was, don't be jealous. Overcome that impulse. That's a lesson. So everything is a lesson. We're constantly on the battlefield or on the testing ground of our character and our perspectives. And when I see life that way, then every moment can give birth to the most amazing growth. This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and here we are. And you were just listening to Conversation in the Womb from Journeys, a magnificent song. Fundamentally, the premise of the song is to babies in a mother's womb having an argument if there's a world beyond the womb. Is there a world to come? And one says, definitely. Another one says, are you kidding me? This is all there is. And then finally it comes time for the birth. And the first one goes out, and the first one who goes out is the one who actually believed in the world to come. So the one inside starts screaming, my brother's dead. There's nothing there. And the brother calls out and says, are you kidding me, man? Life has only begun. Life has only begun. Obviously, it's a metaphor about birth and about death, that there's a world to come. There's something to look forward to, and that this isn't all there is. And so it's a meditation on observing, on looking around and seeing beyond the current reality. Because many of us get very locked into the current reality, into what we think the current reality is. And that's the birthplace of a huge amount of stress and anxiety, our inability of going with the flow that Hashem has for us, that he designed for our life, to just be able to go flowing. Hashem, where do you want me? Right? Where can I be? There's a statement, there's a line that many shuls have on top of the ark or on the ark or somewhere else, and it goes like this: Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi samid. And the simple translation is, I place God in front of my eyes constantly. But the commentary tells us another way of reading it: Shiviti, which can be translated as I place, can also be from the word equal, shaveh, equal. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi samid, that Hashem for me is constant. It's equal. Good days, bad days, I put him as a constant. And when I have Hashem as a constant, then even my wavy and my days of up and down are much more stabilized and much more within a spectrum rather than absolutely haywire based on the moment of the day, because God is constant and Hashem is placing me where I need to be. So when a person has perspective and they're able to just, and I'm talking to myself first and foremost, I think we all suffer from, the word suffer is wrong, but still we suffer from what's called a human condition, right? We get lost in the moment and we get stressed and we get anxious and we worry and we get excited, etc. And human emotions are nothing wrong with. The problem is when they're totally out of whack and they're totally disproportionate to healthy living. That's when I have to like equalize myself by putting Hashem as the center and realizing, Hashem, you place me wherever I need to be. And if right now I'm in a unique situation, then my question that I have to ask myself is, God, what are you trying to teach me? Right. Very often people would reach out to Lubavitcher Rebbe and they would tell him about a medical issue they had that landed them up in the hospital. And the Rebbe would obviously, wish them well. And then he would say, why do you think God needs you in the hospital? Is there something for you to do there? And the moment you finish what you need to do there, please God, you'll be healthy and get out. In other words, we don't end up in places randomly. We end up in places where we need to be. And an extreme example, but it deeply resonated with me. I'm not saying it has to resonate with you, but I had an experience when my dad died a few years ago, and I was trying to find meaning and purpose, just comfort and consolation in this whole process. And I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to somebody who suffered a loss as well. And I was asking them, so how did so-and-so pass away? And they said, because God took him. How did he take him? He took him through a car accident. And that deeply resonated with me. Because often, so how did your dad die? He had a kidney disease. Okay. So it's the kidney disease that killed him? God could have healed it. The disease came out of nowhere and could have been taken out of nowhere. Could have never come in the first place. Rather, it was his time for whatever reason at a young age. And God took him through the kidney. But the point is that that story reminded me that that little communication I had, that there is no randomness in life. It's not like people die, we use the word prematurely, untimely. It wasn't supposed to happen. If it wasn't supposed to happen, it wouldn't happen. Now, this could come across as heartless. In other words, there's a time and place to say this. And definitely you don't show up to a house of mourning and start telling it to people. Although, if they ask, the conversation often does come. And if it's said kindly and with love, it often deeply does resonate with people for them to know that their loved one didn't die random. There's nothing random. There's no premature deaths. It's when it was designed. And death, as I said, an extreme example. But that point is that our life, we are where we need to be now. Right now, I'm talking to you. It's Tuesday afternoon on the radio, and this is where I have to be. Right after that, I'm going to meet somebody. I'm going to have another shiur. I'll do some work. Then I'll daven mincha. I'll pray to Hashem. Then I'll go spend time with family. Then I'll have a shiur later at night. And at each place, that's where I need to be. And that's where God is teaching me lessons. Right now, he's teaching me lessons through hopefully, helping me articulate some ideas, which are definitely not mine. And later on, I'll be learning lessons by putting a kid to sleep. And they're all valuable if I'm listening. And I am where I need to be. That's really the fundamental idea I'm trying to bring across. When you realize that God designs your life, then you realize you are where you need to be. It's this moment. It's in this place, in this relationship, in this role, in this country, in this scenario. Once in a while, in extreme examples, I have to change it. But on the most part, I am where I need to be. In other words, sometimes an extreme example, I'm in a terrible relationship. It's absolutely disastrous. And then sometimes the answer is maybe I have to dismantle it. Or I'm living in a place that's still not working for me and I have to leave. But those are extreme examples. But most of the time, the major majority of the time, I am where I need to be. And all I have to do is ask myself, what is God trying to tell me now? Why am I here? What do you want of me now? What am I supposed to show up with today? And this conversation, I think, is appropriate, especially as we're getting close to the month of Elul. We're literally a week before the month of Elul, the month of repentance, the month of return, the month of reflection, and 5 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, right? Tomorrow night, I think, is 5 weeks. 5 weeks since till Rosh Hashanah. It's getting close. And this time of the year is a deep time of reflection. Ideally, it should be. And the fundamental reflection is not so much on the situation of the world, but on the situation of my world. Where am I? Wo bin ich, as they say in Yiddish, where am I? The first question that God asks Adam, and we read about it at the end of the month of Tishrei, the end of the month of holidays, the first parsha in the Torah, God shows up after Adam and Eve sinned with the tree of knowledge. And what's the first question Hashem asks? Ayeka, where are you? That's the fundamental question God asks humankind. Ayeka, where are you? Have you grown? In the last 12 months, we've all taken in a lot of pain, a lot of grief, right? Ever since October 7th to literally this moment, it's been so much pain. But there's also been moments of incredible joy and meaning. And there's been endless lessons. Wow, this year has, if you see life as a classroom, this year has been eye-opening in terms of how to see ourselves as Jews, anti-Semitism, what it means to stand up and build a future, et cetera, Jewish continuity. Incredible amount of lessons, incredible. Or I could show up now, short of 12 months since October 7th, and I've learned nothing. And then the question God comes to me is like, Ayeka, where are you? Seriously? A year like this? I mean, just think about the last 5 years of our life, right? In March is going to be 5 years since COVID entered our lives. It's been a weird, intense, very unusual 5 years. Ayeka, where are you? What have you learned? What have you picked up? What have I grown? Am I a different person for the better in the events of the past year, in the events of the last 5 years? And if not, why not? Why am I not learning? I mean, we could go through incredible experiences, but if we don't see life as a classroom, then we don't change. Remember a few months ago, we spoke about this idea that, like, I remember during COVID, everyone was saying the age of simchas that are just splurges of money are over. We've all learned our lessons. And that was such rubbish. Some people maybe learned lessons, but as a society, I don't think we've learned lessons. I don't think we're any less vain than we were 5 years ago. In some ways, I would argue just the opposite. And I'm not against big parties. I personally don't like parties of vanity. I like parties of meaning. And if it's fancy, that's great. But as long as it has a neshama, it has a soul. But that's a conversation for another time. But fundamentally, have I been learning anything? I go through crazy experiences. We all have been through unbelievable. If I described the life of the last 5 years to you 10 years ago, you would think I'm describing a movie. Soap opera, just like, or a zombie apocalypse. I don't know what, but definitely doesn't feel real. And yet we lived through it. And those experiences had so many lessons. COVID, lockdown, the so many lessons. And often all the lessons boil down to was, should I have taken the vaccine or not? And whatever, I'm not even getting into that debate. But the point is, that's seriously the only question you have coming out of a year and a half, 2 years of that madness is whether you should have taken the vaccine. How about a gazillion and a half lessons about yourself, your marriage, your kids, your home, your job, your meaning, your purpose, your life? So many lessons. And when I open myself to these lessons, my life is so much richer. So rich. People with wisdom, who we all appreciate, we love sitting with people with wisdom, are people who've learned from life. You sit with a person and you hear them talk about life and you just feel you're sitting through somebody who's learned something from this life, and it's so enriching. Or you read an incredible book by an incredible author, whether fiction, nonfiction, psychology, whatever, and you know that this person understands something about the human condition and about life and about purpose because they are in tune to it. Right? A good writer, a good play, a good film is written by someone who understands something, who's listening to life and is picking up a lot about life by listening. How much more so if we're not talking about films, books, and plays. We're talking about sitting with great people, Torah sages, tzaddikim, holy, righteous individuals, people who could be sitting and living next door to you. They could be living in the same home as you, but have learned something in this life and therefore live a life of so much intention and meaning. What a privilege it is to be in their surroundings. And as we come to closer to Rosh Hashanah, shouldn't we hang around them a bit more? This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and this is what we do every Tuesday from 1 to 2. We hopefully bring and try to learn a bit of life.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson, and we're coming to the final few minutes of our show. Just listening to the beautiful song, Veshavu Banim, praying for our children, our brothers and sisters to return. And here's for, we need to pray. We need to pray that every single one of the hostages comes home and that all the good things that we need in our life should manifest very, very quickly. And praying for our soldiers, praying for all of Am Yisrael, all good people all over the world, that we should live in a time of clarity, right? There's no bigger curse than when people see evil as good and good as evil. There's nothing more frustrating than that. And during this time, it's our job to try in our small little way to help people see. I think one of the lessons of the last year is this idea of being a light unto the nations, that we can't just sit there sitting, being frustrated that so many people don't understand, but we have to rather educate and we have to teach. Can't give up on this world. This is God's world, right? A lot of people have gone into a place of nihilism and pessimism and cynicism, and the world will never understand. People don't like us. And there's some people who don't like us, but we have to take responsibility to this world. That's part of our mandate in this life, is take responsibility and to figure out a way that we can help people see clearly. I think that's one of the big lessons. But if we don't see clearly, if we ourselves don't know why the land is ours, if we ourselves don't know what it means to live the ethical life, then how am I supposed to help other people see? Right? For me, this year has been a huge awakening to make sure I have my own ideas clearly. And not only my ideas, but I'm living a life, right, of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying Hashem's name. Every one of us that lives an honorable life is a house of 1,000 lights. We're like a lighthouse. And through that, people can see clearly. And there's so many other lessons that we've had over this year, sticking together, power of prayer, the power of miracles, the power of our collective pain, how we see each other, how we feel each other, how we're one. There's so many lessons for us to learn in this world together, but we can only learn it if we're listening. If 2024, in the last few months of 2023, if we come out of it, if we come out of this Hebrew year 5, 7, 8, 4, and we haven't evolved as humans, we're not much better versions of ourselves, then it's the ultimate definition of a waste of a crisis. It's the waste of a lesson. We've been sitting in the most intense year of learning. This puts nothing on the year that we matriculated or the year that we finished our degree or our big exams. 2024, 5, 7, 8, 4 has been a year of intense lessons through putting us through such a roller coaster of emotion. But I could only feel it. I could only learn its lessons. I could only truly unpack the messages I have to learn if I'm listening. But if I'm not listening, then what chance do I have? And that's really the question I'm challenging us all. I'm challenging myself first and foremost. I mean it when I say, and I've said it so many times, that this weekly show is me talking to myself out loud, because none of us can really preach to others. Definitely when you're encouraging people to grow, it's patronizing unless you're doing it yourself, unless you're talking to yourself out loud. So I would encourage us, as we enter the month of reflection, today a week is Rosh Chodesh, the month of Elul, the month of reflection, the month of the Shofar. I would encourage us all during this time to ask deep questions and to say, okay, what have I learned? What version of myself am I now? Am I a kinder person? Am I a more forgiving person? Right? For me, I'll finish with this before we go into the final song. It makes no sense to me that any of us could finish this year still having variables, having grudges. When we see how much hate we have from the outside, there is zero room or tolerance for hate from the inside. Yes, your sister-in-law didn't invite you to the party. I'm sorry. You could be hurt. And then we have to forgive. We have to be people that forgive. We have to be people who ask forgiveness and forgive. In my mind, we cannot show up to a year from October 7th, the first yard site, with any hate in our heart to our fellow Jew. If there is, I think we didn't learn our lessons. How? How can I hate? When I see what hatred really looks like, I see how terrible hatred. I don't have to like everybody. I'm not saying we have to be besties and sit there, you know, dancing together at the sunset with every single person. But hatred, resentment, grudges, there's no room for that. That's one lesson we can learn from this classroom called 5784. What's your lesson? Wishing you, it's already the time of the year that we can wish each other a sweet year. May you be inscribed and signed in the book of good life. May all of us be blessed with a sweet year. I want to finish off this show, this Tuesday, with a beautiful melody of Jerusalem songs. This is 101.9 Chai FM. Have a great day.